Hey everybody, it's Daniel, and welcome back to Spain to Go, the greatest, best podcast in the entire multiverse for all things Spain. Today, we're going to talk about my upcoming visit to the US after 17 years abroad. There is no avoiding it. I've spent years, decades almost, more than one decade, we could say, but less than two, making excuses, but it's time for me to visit the US, finally. When I came to Spain in 2004, I didn't think I was going to make a life out of it. I was only 21, and I was just having an adventure. I didn't have a plan at all, or even the ability to envision my life a few years later on. When I'd meet people who were 26 or 27 back then, I would think, shit, that's old. I'll probably never make it to that age. After several months in Madrid, in summer 2005, I went to visit the US. It was my only time back stateside since 2004, and I quickly decided it wasn't for me, so I ended up back in Spain. I did not plan to stay for 17 more years. I didn't have a plan at all. It just sort of happened, like a lot of things in life. The days just pass, and so do the years. If you think you're not going to make it to 27, well, you just might. You just might make it to 39, like I have, and be very surprised that you've made it that far at all. Anyway, about those excuses, why haven't I been back to the US in all that time? Of course, I had my reasons. For the first several years, I was hanging around Spain without a residence or work permit, so I didn't want to travel much and risk deportation. Lawyers have told me it would be better to call my situation irregular rather than illegal, but guess what? It felt pretty illegal at the time, and I didn't want to cross a lot of borders and maybe get kicked out of the country forever. So my plan, as it was in my early 20s, was number one, overstay my tourist visa. Number two, a bunch of question marks. And number three, live happily ever after. The question marks were the important thing. I had no idea what was going to happen in the meantime. I just thought I could overstay my tourist visa and work things out eventually. I've been wrong about a lot of things in life, but I was right about that. It just turned out to take 7 years of struggle with Spanish bureaucracy, after which I became a fully legal, tax-paying resident of the Kingdom of Spain. I always like saying the Kingdom of Spain because a lot of people do not realize that Spain is a kingdom with a king and that the people who live here are his subjects. I'm not sure if I am officially a subject yet or if I have to get Spanish nationality, but it's an interesting situation, living in a monarchy. Anyway, my next excuse for not visiting the US for 17 years was that I was broke. I was teaching English. A lot of times I was earning 11 euros an hour, sometimes as much as 20 or 25, but my 20 or 25 were generally a few hours a week, and there were a lot more hours where it was 11 or 12. I was doing this in offices and industrial parks in and around Madrid from sunrise until late at night, and those jobs just didn't pay enough for me to fly back across the pond on a whim. A lot of people with quote-unquote regular jobs envied my 3 months of vacation every year, but it wasn't really vacation. It was just unpaid sitting around, and when you've got your secret money sock in a drawer with a roll of 50s in it, and you're watching your roll of 50s get smaller and smaller every week until late September or even, I believe, early October, some months before I would eventually get paid, you would also envy somebody getting a salary that was paid to them 12 times a year. Eventually, I quit my teaching jobs to dedicate my time to my online business, which is my vast media empire in which I teach English to Spanish-speaking people, but on the internet without having to do it face-to-face. But that still didn't get me out of summertime poverty. Far from it, actually. Sometimes I'd make a lot of money one month, but the next month would be even worse than when I was running all over the city for chump change. For years, I was only one crushing tax bill away from spending another hot summer drinking 25-cent beers and unable to afford travel that was further than the mountains outside town. I'm not complaining about any of this. It was actually a lot of fun. I was at an age where 25-cent beers and trips to the mountains just seemed like a great idea, and I was in control of my own destiny finally. It was awesome. However, it was not luxurious. Also, as a freelance business owner, the tax bills arrive 5 times a year, at least here in Spain, or if you're talking about Social Security, 17 times a year, every month plus the 5 income tax bills. However, with much hard work, I managed to reach a place where periodic expenses weren't so crushing. At which point, I moved to Barcelona with my lovely girlfriend, Morena, and developed a few new crushing lifestyle expenses. Barcelona rents are expensive. Deposits on flats are expensive. Generally, pretending to be middle class is, get this, expensive. It all costs money. So, no trips to the US. After that, there were visa problems, legal fees, and a trip to Asia so that lovely girlfriend Morena could apply for her new work permit from her embassy back home. I got back to Barcelona in early spring 2020 thinking, okay, now that everything's going smoothly, I should be able to visit the US one of these days. Then you know what happened. We all spent a couple of years sliding down that slippery slope towards healthcare-themed fascism. And that didn't really make international travel seem desirable. Then there was another visa renewal. Then my passport was expiring. Finally, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the US consulate here in Barcelona to pick up my new passport and walked out, knowing that I had no more excuses. There will always be a crushing tax bill just over the horizon. There's never a perfect moment to do anything. So I got a ticket to the US, and I'm going, 17 years later. I wonder if anything's changed. I do have a love-hate relationship with America. I should mention at this point that I didn't actually enjoy growing up in the US. Your experience may vary, but I spent most of my formative years in the desert outside Phoenix, with nowhere to go and just bored out of my skull all the time. The common pastimes around those parts were mindless consumerism and being a judgmental Puritan asshole, neither of which really appealed to me. Eventually, I was almost thrown out of every school I ever attended, except college, which I dropped out of when my family's financial situation changed. Late one night at the university library, I sat down to do the math, and when I figured out how many loans I'd need to finish my degree in English literature, I just decided to take a year off. I told my sponsor, or whatever you call him, the professor who was going to be taking care of my English literature degree, and he told me, "Don't take a year off, you'll never come back." And I didn't believe him, but he was right. I never went back. I didn't have much of a life plan, as I said earlier, but I was never so stupid as to imagine that going into $50,000 debt for a liberal arts degree was a sound financial decision. And I know that now $50,000 even sounds cheap compared to what some people are doing. So I took my year off, and there were a few years, as it turns out, of getting and losing low-end jobs, riding my bike around in the blistering Phoenix heat, and generally scraping by on the edge of poverty. Eventually, the love of my life dumped me, which is a whole nother story, and I found myself jobless, with no prospects, and sleeping on a friend's couch. I had some savings, thanks to extreme Protestant frugality, but I'd already been rejected by every place that might plausibly hire me. So, I wasn't doing very well. I was 21, homeless, jobless, and loveless. I was living in a place I hated, and I was contemplating a future of having to sell plasma in order to get by. In other words, coming to Spain and earning 11 euros an hour was a significant step up for me. At the very least, I'd escaped most of the consumerism and the judgmental Puritan assholes who I'd had such a terrible time living around before. They mostly just stayed back in the US. Plus, as a native English speaker, I had no trouble finding work in Madrid. So, I did what any 21-year-old would do. I rent a room lit by a bare light bulb hanging from a wire. I got a prepaid candy bar phone, this being 2004. And I proceeded to have the time of my life. I was young, I was gainfully employed for the first time. I was in Europe, and I was surrounded by svelte, attractive females who found me both exotic and occasionally charming. Those were indeed the days. And your experience, if you've ever lived in the US or moved to Europe, might be different, very different, but that's mine. So I wasn't exactly itching in all these years to go back and mope around in the desert, bored as hell, and having spent most of my meager savings to get there. Thus ends my list of excuses for not going back to the US. The day after tomorrow, in fact, I will be on my way to the US. It's going to be quite a thing. So, what about that? What about going back to your home country after 17 years abroad? Well, I will find out soon. When I read the travel guides and what they have to say about the US, I get the impression that I'm hearing about a foreign country. Lonely Planet's USA page starts with a line, quote, "The great American experience is about so many things. Bluegrass and beaches," unquote. It sort of goes downhill from there. Bluegrass, beaches? I mean, I barely even know what they're talking about. I guess I walked along a US beach once in San Diego when I was a kid, and I believe bluegrass music makes use of the banjo. However, I can't recall ever listening to bluegrass, except as part of a soundtrack to a film, perhaps. Later, on the same Lonely Planet page, we learn that America is the birthplace of LA, Las Vegas, Chicago, Miami, Boston, and New York City. Each a brimming metropolis whose name alone conjures a million different notions of culture, cuisine, and entertainment. That was all a quote, in case you didn't get it from my silly voice. And, okay, I spent a couple of nights in New York back in 2005. I remember eating a slice of pizza, cheese pizza, because I was a vegetarian, for dinner in Harlem. I remember eating a vegetarian burrito in Greenwich Village. I think I also visited either the Met or the MoMA. But that's about it for my experience of culture, cuisine, and entertainment in the Big Apple. The rest of the cities they mention, I just haven't been. I think I've driven through LA. But nothing else. Other sources online suggest that the US is a great place to visit Michelin-starred restaurants and redwood forests, to eat deep-fried Twinkies and stroll through star-saturated Hollywood, quote-unquote. All things so far from my 20-plus years of life there that they may as well be talking about a distant or imaginary land. The steppes of Mongolia, perhaps, or the Isle of Atlantis. The website Rough Guides, they might be a book series also, what do I know? But in their online article about things one should know before visiting the US, suggests that the American dream is still going strong, especially if your last name is Rockefeller. I guess the author of that article was too busy to Google the names of current rich people, or else she wasn't aware that the Rockefeller family isn't quite what it used to be. Although I hear that Winthrop P. Rockefeller was a pretty good lieutenant governor of Arkansas before his timely death a few years ago. Incidentally, I should mention that I'm descended from one of the least important branches of the Rockefeller family, and I'm still waiting for an invite to the family reunion, or maybe even a large unexpected inheritance from some uncle I never knew I had. It's okay if my uncle I never knew I had is out there with his millions and wants to give me some money, I'll take it. I have no hard feelings. for the Rockefeller clan for ignoring me all these years. Anyway, the USA, as I read about it in the travel guides, bears virtually no resemblance to the country I know. And I expect that a lot of people feel the same. I grew up in the middle of the desert. My situation was not very typical, but I assume that there are 150 million people who also grew up in some situation which was very atypical in some way. A lot of people in the US, in fact, have lives probably sort of like I did back in the day. They're just scraping by in an unglamorous location without much else going on, trying to get through their work week so they can enjoy their weekend. Normal things that people do, probably, in every country. But I guess we'll find out what kind of lives people have back in the US. Anyway, my final thought today, what is America anyway? Having lived abroad for so long, people sometimes tell me, oh wow, 17 years, you're Spanish now. Which, obviously, I'm not. I have my doubts about the whole idea of fully integrating in a foreign country. I mentioned that in a previous podcast entitled Why Don't You Just Integrate? But do I still feel American? Yeah, I do. Whatever that means, I don't even really know. It seems like the US is so diverse that I could guarantee you my feeling of being American is very different from the average feeling of being American, if in fact there is even an average feeling of being American. However, I definitely feel more patriotic than I did when I was in my early 20s. Largely, I suspect that comes from appreciating the opportunities I've had because I happened to be born there, as well as visiting enough other countries to see that every place has problems, and the US is, all things considered, doing pretty well for itself. So I'm excited to be going back. I also suspect that my love for America is largely dependent on me not being in America. So we will see if my newfound patriotism survives contact with the actual on-the-ground experience of being in the US. I give it about a 50-50 chance. And with that, I'm going to wrap up for the day. I'll see you soon in America or elsewhere. Feel free to subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you subscribe to podcasts. Please give me a like or write a 5-star review wherever it is that you review these things. You could write a 3 or 4-star review also, but I recommend 5 stars. It just seems better for some reason. And let me know if there's anything you would like to hear about on the podcast. I'm guessing my next few articles over on expatmadrid.com will be US-related, and I'll probably do some other US-related stuff, content here on the podcast, or videos on my English-speaking or Spanish-speaking YouTube channel. You know, I do a lot of things. You can follow along on every social network imaginable, except TikTok. And yeah, it's been great. I hope you have a great day wherever you are in the world, and hasta la próxima.